Mark Hamby is founder and president of Lamplighter Ministries International. He is an author, speaker, and Bible teacher. One division of Lamplighter Ministries International is Lamplighter Theater, a riveting radio drama heard on over 900 radio stations in 11 countries. Lamplighter Theater dramas present absolute truths upon which Christians can stand firm. Stay tuned for my interview with Mark Hamby next on the Soaring Eagle Radio Show.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said. You talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Welcome, friends. Thanks for joining us today for this episode. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and when you do, I appreciate you leaving a review and a rating. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and of course you can listen to every episode on our website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. Mark, welcome to the Soaring Eagle Radio Show.
Great to be here, Mike.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time. Mark, you have a very interesting testimony, and I've heard it before about how Christ called you out of the life that you were living into a life of service and ministry. And I'm wondering if you would discuss how you came to faith in Christ and how that was the basis for the Lord leading you into what has become Lamplighter Ministries International.
Yeah, sure, love to. But first, you know, the information that you gave in the intro, I'm going to have to have someone update that because I think it was 11 countries and 800 radio stations. Now, just a few years later, it's now 1,800 radio stations in 29 countries. So God has really expanded this to throughout the world, and we're very soon to become a daily broadcast where we'll reach into China and throughout Indonesia and Asia. So we're just hoping that the Lord is going to continue to have His hand of favor upon us.
That's very exciting, Mark. 1,800 radio stations now?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. That's very exciting.
We can't keep up with the growth right now. We're literally in desperate need of an office operations manager, mm-hmm. and a marketing director and a development director right now. So we're looking. So God is expanding us, and it's great to grow. I'd rather be growing than have growing pains than going backwards.
That's right. Yes. Yes.
So 20 or 38 years ago, I came to know the Lord as my Savior, and I was a bartender, and at night I would go to a salt mine, and I'd be working at a salt mine, and at that salt mine, the radio was on. I couldn't shut it off because it was up in the rafters, and the
couldn't reach
the preacher,
it.
No, the preacher was preaching up a storm on Christ being crucified, and that whoever the listener was the one that crucified him. And it's like, wow. Never thought of that before. Mm-hmm. And so I got saved via radio. And so from there on, I mean, my salvation experience was a Pilgrim's Progress experience. I had the burden of sin lifted off from me. And that day, I saw creation for the very first time. It was so extravagant. I saw the green grass, I saw the leaves on the tree, the bark on the tree, the sky and the clouds, the colors, the fragrance, everything just came alive for the very first time, and I realized that there was a God who did this.
Yes.
And there was a God that loved me so much that he was willing to die for me, and that just blew me away. And I didn't actually pray to be saved, not in the traditional sense. Mm-hmm. I told God that I just deserved his judgment, and I can't believe I did what I did to him all those years, you know, living against him and cursing his name and not giving him, you know, 1 ounce of my attention or loyalty or worship. So I told him that I deserved his judgment, and I'll never forget. I said, if you're willing though to save me, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll be whoever you want me to be. And boy, I got saved. It's the only way I can describe it. I mean,
yeah.
Saved. And and I was so excited. The first, and up to that point, I'd never read a book. I hated to read. Reading to me was like throwing up. I just would open up a book, and it would be blurry. You know, not my eyes were good, but the words left no there was no comprehension in my life whatsoever. And so when you have a child growing up like me, who's, you know, very, you know, I'm a dreamer. You know, I'm a visionary today, but I was a dreamer growing up. And there's a difference between being a visionary and a dreamer. Dreamers have no basis for moving forward with their dreams. Their dreams are just based on wishful thinking. Visionaries, their vision is based on a lot of preparatory work, a lot of inexhaustible knowledge. You know, they pay a price to really be prepared for the future. You know, they go to school, they study, they gain a wealth of knowledge before they move forward. And what I love about that, there's an accumulated effect of knowledge. Now, picture this: 22 years of age, never read a book in my life, and I'm a dreamer. Joseph, by the way, was a dreamer, and that's what got him into a lot of trouble when he was growing up. He had no basis for his dreams, but God put him in the school of hardship, and through being in prison for 20 years, he learned how to move his dreams into vision and learned that his vision really needed to serve other people. And so that's what a real visionary is supposed to do. How does it benefit others, and how does it glorify God?
Well, there was a young lady that played an integral part in your salvation. She used to stop by and visit with you when you were working and shared the gospel, is my understanding.
You mean my future wife?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but she wasn't a Christian either at the time.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, we were both unsaved, both very lost at that time. And she just told me one day, you know, she asked me if I wanted to read the Bible with her, and we started reading it. Started the book of Revelation.
Who does that when they're not saved?
I know. It was God's handprint all over the place.
Exactly.
So back to the dreams and vision. I wasn't going anywhere in life. And so when I got saved, the first book that I read was the Bible, and I read it from cover to cover. I couldn't put it down. Read it from Revelation to Genesis, literally read it backwards. And I'll never forget, as I started reading the Word, I got so excited about the knowledge of God. I realized that, you know, I literally knew nothing, you know, and all of a sudden, for the first time, I'm gaining the knowledge of God of how to live my life. And as that happened, immediately, literally, within a year and a half of my salvation, God put me in ministry. And there I was as an assistant pastor, minister of Christian education. And from there, they realized I wasn't firing on all 8 cylinders as far as, you know, I knew the Bible, but that was it. And so they sent me down to Pensacola to get a master's degree in administration. And, you know, from there, the Lord took me to seminary and, you know, started working on an MDiv, THM, and I was so excited about the Word of God. I wanted to pastor in the worst way. And I'll never forget, after seminary, 10 years of seminary, I get out there and I'm candidating in these churches, and it was like the call of God was completely removed from my life. I was like, I didn't want a pastor. It was gone. And I didn't know what was going on with me. You know, do you work 10 years preparing for something, and all of a sudden that call be gone? God doesn't work that way, I thought. You know, God, He loves us. He delights in us. Why would He give me this insatiable desire to study His Word, and then all of a sudden that call be absolutely vanquished? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I went through probably 2 years of total depression, just asking God, what do you want me to do with my life?
Right.
You know, I just gave up. We had built a brand new house before we went to seminary. You know, I had a great job, and here I was raising sheep on a farm and just finished seminary. And I get a call from a pastor up in Michigan. He says, Mark, he goes, hey, this is Pastor Bennett. Hey, we know that you have a love for God's Word. You have an insatiable love for God's Word, and you have God's people, and you have a love for great books.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, because everywhere, you know, before I started Lamplighter Ministries, everywhere I went, there was, if you saw me, I would be telling you, hey, have you ever read this book? This is the best book I've ever read in my life. And every week, I had a new best book that I've ever read in my life. It was always a new book. And I really meant it authentically. Each book was new, and each book just was the best book I'd ever read, you know. And so he called me, and he said, the Word of God, people, and books. And, Mike, as soon as he said it, there was this flash of light in my heart. Mm-hmm. I knew that was it. I knew then and there what God's call was for my life. He wanted me to do what the Apostle Paul was doing.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul was ministering to people. The Apostle Paul was preaching the Word, and remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy? Bring the parchment and the books.
Yes, yes.
He was still studying. And so so we brought some books up there, and Lamplighter Ministries had just started to grow. And next thing I knew, someone sent me a book from Germany from the 1800s. I read it, drew me to my knees. It was called The Basket of Flowers, the very first book that we printed. And now, 20 years later, 200 books we have found and printed, and over 1 million readers, and that's how Lamplighter Ministries got started.
Wow, that's an amazing story. I remember you talking about. I've listened to your story before, as I mentioned earlier, Mark, and I remember you talking about an experience when you were a very young, newly married believer. At Pensacola, and a difference of viewpoint, I'll put it that way, with one of your professors that led to a...
I know where you're leading me.
Yeah, that... And basically what it boiled down to was you had to ace a test or you were done. And so I wonder if you'd pick it up from there, because I know there was a pivotal event that happened to you. You ended up going to a seminar, and a speaker called you out. And so I wonder if you'd share that with our listeners.
Sure. So my church sent my wife and I down to Pensacola Christian College to get a master's degree in administration, only because they knew that I needed help. You know, it's one thing to love the Scriptures, know the Scriptures, but if you don't know anything else, you know, you're going to have a hard time leading a school. So I'm down there, and I'm not doing real well. And again, the only book I've ever read was the Bible. And so I've got all these books to read, and, you know, this is a master's degree. And the lady's name was Miss Roseanne Petermeyer. That's the teacher. And I'm studying World History I and World History II in a Christian perspective. And you got to memorize all these prophet, priests, kings, and dates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm failing every quiz that she's giving. I'm failing the midterm test, and I'm not doing well. So I went to her, and I said, can I do some extra work to get my grade up? And she looked at me with this smile that was like, arrows going right through me. And and she said, Mr. Hamby, has God called you here? And I knew, I said to myself, I said, this is not going to be good. And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, well, the faithful is he that calls you who will also do it, but you've got to do your part first.
Mm-hmm.
I said, ma'am, I'm willing to do my part. That's why I'm here, to do some extra credit. And I smiled back at her, And she said, Mr. Hamby, she goes, I think I'm looking at a young man who's never done his work academically in his life. And I looked at her and I thought, this is so exasperating. Why does she got to say stuff like that, you know? I said, ma'am, I said, I think that's an unfair statement, and I don't think that you're in a position to really judge me. I don't think you really know me. And she looked at me, and she said, I think I'm looking at a young man who lacks the character to do what it takes to serve God in ministry.
Wow.
And I thought, she stepped over the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, it's too bad you had to say that, because this place reminds me more of communism than Christianity, and I don't think I need you or your school, and I'm out of here. And she walked out with me, and she pointed her bony finger in my face. She's only 4'11", petite, skinny woman. And she looked at me, and she said, you leave here, and God's never going to use you.
Mm.
I said, what in the world do you think you are?
Yeah.
I said, not only is God going to use me, but I'm leaving here right now, and you'll never see me again. Mm. And my wife and I, we got in the car, packed our belongings, and we celebration dinner, and we drove up the highway, and we're out of there. It's like, who do these people think they are, mm-hmm. you know? And I got about 60 miles up the road, and all of a sudden, God did something. I got to understand something. I'm so conservative theologically, I'm almost dead. But God did this. It's as if he took his hand inside my chest and stopped my heart from beating, and it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and he got my attention.
Yeah.
And I turned around, looked at my wife, and she was crying. I said, what's wrong? She goes, I think you got to go back.
Mm.
And when God did that to me, I'll never forget it. The verse that came to my mind was in Corinthians, and it said, God forbid I become a castaway.
Mm.
And that carries the idea of being adrift or never to be used by someone again. And I thought, put on a shelf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really want to be used of God. I'm a baby Christian. I don't have any character in my life whatsoever. That lady was 100% right. That is what I lacked. I did not have I had the word of God. I had knowledge, but without any tested character. You see, Romans chapter 5 says this, that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Proven, tested character. That's what the word means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And character, tested character, it produces hope.
Yes.
And hope makes us not ashamed or doesn't disappoint us. And so there I was, a characterless person who had never really endured. This was my first test of suffering and difficulty. The word suffering literally means pressure.
Mm, yeah.
This was my first test of real pressure in my life. Up to that point, God had given me a honeymoon for about a year and a half. Honeymoon experience in his word. Things are going well, but now I'm being tested. And my first test, I'm not passing it. And I know what I'm doing. I'm bolting. And so many people do that today. They get in their first test of pressure. Maybe it's in marriage. Maybe it's in a difficult job.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you have to embrace the pressure, embrace the pain if you want God's greatest blessings. That's what Jacob had to do. God said to Jacob, let me go.
Yeah.
Let me go.
Mm-hmm.
And he had just been crippled. He had just had his hip dislocated. Remember what Jacob said? With a dislocated hip, God says, let me go. And Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to do in the midst of our greatest painful situations, especially in marriage.
Yeah.
And when we do, God takes over.
Yes.
And so I said to my wife, I said, you're right, I got to go back. And I turned the car around, went back, knocked on Ms. Roseanne Petermeyer's door. She looked at me when I opened it. She opened that door and she smiled and she said, I thought you'd be back. And I said, what do I got to do? What do I got to do to get a passing grade in this course? She said, I added your grades up when you left. She goes, you got to get 100 on the final exam. 200 questions. It's counted twice. It's a 3-hour exam. If you miss one question, you got to take the course over again next year.
Mm.
And I said, that's impossible. And she said, I don't ever want to hear that word out of your mouth again. Do you understand me?
Mm.
And I thought I swore and didn't know what I said. It was the I word.
Yeah.
Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who knows me today, now 36 years later, that word does not exist in my vocabulary.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I remember we had to come up with 100 sheets for bedding. We were having a family conference here last year, and I had 5 interns here, and I said, guys, I want you to find 100 sheets for bedding without it costing a cent, because it was going to cost like $5,000.
Yikes.
For all that stuff. And, you know, pillows and, you know, sheets and blankets, you know, everything, $5,000. We don't have that kind of money. And And they went by, a week went by, and they said, it's impossible. I love when someone says that to me now.
Yeah.
I said, you guys, I want you to get in a room, and you start praying, and you ask God to give you those sheets. If he can part a sea, he can give you sheets. And they started praying. And I had to kind of coax them, give them some ideas. I said, why don't you guys start calling some hotels and Bible camps, you know, mm-hmm. and just whatever. You know, there's mm-hmm. all kinds of places out there got a ton of sheets.
Yeah.
They called the first hotel, and they were just – they have to change their sheets every several months.
Mm-hmm.
They had 1,000 sheets for us.
Oh,
brand
my.
New, basically, and blankets and pillows and everything.
Oh, my.
So it was a great lesson for them to learn. So back to the story.
Yeah.
I take that test, and I'll never forget. I got to the last question, and I could not get the answer. And I put an answer in, and I knew it was wrong. And she took the test out at the three-hour mark, and I looked at her, and I remembered the answer immediately. I said, can I have that test back, please? And she goes, no, the test is over. I said, I remembered the answer before the test was over. She goes, I said, can I have it back? I'll never forget what she said. She said, no, ask again.
Mm.
And, Mike, I had never had anyone ever talk to me that way before. I've always had the last word. I've always been able to manipulate. I've always been able to get my way. I've always been able to beat the system. And I remember looking, we stared at each other, and I remember asking myself, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask again. Does that, I mean, what would happen if I asked again? What could she possibly
right.
do to
yes.
me? I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I'm thinking all of this through because I am 24 years old, and I've never been in a position where I had to submit to authority
mm-hmm.
wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
I've never submitted to authority. I've always been able to get my way. I got a bachelor's degree without ever reading a book, you
yeah.
know? And so I looked at her, and I thought, I think she means it. And
yeah.
I thought, you know what? I worked hard.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get 100, but I worked hard, and I feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just letting it go. And it was the first time in my life I had ever truly submitted to authority and worked really hard for something.
Mm-hmm.
And as I told you before, I can feel physically my character changing inside.
Oh, wow.
And, mm-hmm. and God, that was the beginning stage of my character development and my change in Christ and God being able to really begin to use me.
Yeah, yeah. And so how'd you do on the test, Mark?
Yeah, I got 100 on that from my family. She said to me, I learned that she didn't give it back to me because she knew I had the right answer. And I learned later she was not sleeping on her judgment stand up there. She had her head down. She was praying for me that entire time.
Oh, my. Wow. What a wonderful testimony that is. So because of that, you ended up going to a seminar, and a speaker was there that was very frank in his pronouncements. And he actually ended up sending you a whole box of books. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Charlie Tremendous Jones. You know, he's got this amazing saying, you'd be the same today as you'd be 5 years from now, except for the people you meet and the books you read. And
yes.
He took me out of a crowd of 3,000 people, brought me up on stage, embarrassed the living daylights out of me because he was asking me what great Christian books I'd been reading. And up to that point, I hadn't read one.
Yeah.
And after embarrassing me, he got my address, and 3 days later when we got home, there was a dozen biographies waiting for me, and I started reading them. The first one was D.L. Moody, the greatest evangelist of the 19th century,
mm-hmm.
and 36 years later, I'm still praying the prayer that I found in that book, that the world has not yet seen what God can do through one man wholly committed unto him. I pray I be that man.
Yes.
And then I read George Mueller. And what George Mueller did from the age of 71 to 92, he read the Bible 4 times a year, cover to cover.
Mm.
A lot of people think he's a great man of faith and great man of prayer, but what really was the foundation for his faith and prayers was the reading of the Word of God.
Yes.
And so those two men, they were the foundation for me to really help me to see how essential.
Yes.
And if there's a word that's greater than essential, paramount, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
that word is the word that describes our responsibility to really know the Word of God, to be saturated.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth.
Yes.
And that word study, literally in the Greek, means to make haste and to be quick about it. Don't delay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those books sent by Charlie were the foundation for my life that led to the eventual start of Lamplighter Ministries.
Yes, yes. And that's why I wanted you to discuss the marks so that our listeners could connect those dots and understand that God moved you, certainly, and moved circumstances through people to bring you where you are today. So today, Lamplighter Ministries International has many different divisions. I'm wondering if you would give our listeners a breakdown of what's happening with Lamplighter Ministries International today.
Sure. So we got Lamplighter Publishing, first and foremost. That's the foundation of our ministry. We have about 200 books, like I said, 1 million readers, and these are books that these are books I'll die for. I won't print anything that I'm not willing to die for, so it better be good.
Yeah, right.
You know, since I was a non-reader growing up, as a child, I hated to read. When a child reads one of these books, I want them to be on the edge of their seats. And so these books are filled with mystery and drama and suspense, you know, and they're filled with the Word of God. You just don't even realize you're reading the Word of God. So it starts to have an influence on who you are as you're reading them. In fact, I can say that I am who I am today primarily because of the Word of God and these books. These books seem to come into my life just at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
For example, our latest book of the year is called Locked Cupboard. Psalm 37 came alive in that book, the section where it says, "Commit your ways to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He'll bring it to pass." I've read that verse 1,000 times,
mm-hmm.
but I never understood it until I read it in relationship with the story, and then it came alive. And it's like, whoa, now I know what it means to commit something to Christ,
yes.
And I know what it means to trust in Him, and I know what it means now for Him to bring it to pass. It's transformed the way I conduct my ministry here.
Yeah.
That verse, that book, and that verse combined has transformed the way I make decisions here, and it's you should see, we're committing things to God like we've never committed before, and we're seeing Him bring it to pass in ways we'd never dream possible.
Yes.
So each of these stories have a significant influence on the heart, mind, and soul, and especially the soul. A lot of people don't realize this. And it's one thing to read a book that can, inspire the mind and even massage the heart.
Yeah.
But a book that reaches the soul,
right.
That's the kind of book you want to read. And
right.
The Library of Congress in 1869 made this statement. The only books that are worthy to be read are books that are good for the soul.
Amen.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, very.
Now, in connection with that, Peter understood that. And he said that Lot's righteous soul was vexed from day to day by the things he saw and the things he heard.
Hmm.
And the word vexed appears twice in Peter, and it means to be torn apart or to be tortured.
Hmm.
And today, what our children are seeing and hearing is torturing their souls. And so as moms and dads out there, we have such a responsibility to guard the very soul of our children. It's our responsibility. And children today, I'm watching them at such a young age. They're playing with their parents' iPhones, and they're watching these games on these apps, and they're playing video games. And it kills me to watch this because I know the damage that it's doing to our children's souls. Mike, some research just came out. The children who have a steady diet of images, whether it be from Facebook to video games, to television or movies, any one of those, this is what the research has showed, and this is coming from secular research, that it is inhibiting a child's ability to believe in anything that's transcendent. It blocks, it plugs the filters of one's ability to believe in something that's transcendent.
And wow.
In other words, it blocks their ability to believe in something invisible. In other words, it blocks their ability to believe in God.
Yeah.
So guess what?
Wow.
Children today, and I tell you what, Satan, he should get the award of the millennium.
Yeah.
This is the best, most ingenious plan that anyone could have ever thought up. He no longer has to kill Christians in wars. He no longer has to get Christians to fight among one another. All he's got to do is put them to sleep and amuse them to death. And the word amuse means not to think.
Not to think.
And that's what's happening today. Christians aren't thinking today. And here's why. Because the images that are saturating their mind, heart, and soul, those images are replacing the invisible God. Right. So, well, here's what happens. When you have a void in your life, and that void was originally intended to be God-shaped, and it can only be filled by God himself, the only way you can fill those voids, at least try to, is to fill them with something else that's supernatural. And so what do you try?
Yeah.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Ant-Man. It's interesting they had to come up with another man. All of them have one thing in common. They all have the word man at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
That no longer fills or fulfills. And so now children and adults move from the superheroes. And now we have to have a little bit more supernatural ability. Now we put in Thor, Captain America, and the Hulk. And so now that doesn't fill anymore. Okay, so we've gone from our early day heroes of Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, Ant-Man, Iron Man. We move to the other heroes of the Hulk and Captain America and Thor and all those guys. And guess what is next? They start to wear off because they can't fill the void either. Guess what's next?
What's
vampires,
that?
Vampires,
Twilight. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And guess what? That doesn't fill it either. That starts to wear off. Guess what you got to go to next? The Walking Dead, zombies. Do you see where it leads?
Yeah.
It leads to more and more grotesque superheroes. And the next thing you know, the end result of that is a life of hopelessness. And nothing matters because they can no longer believe in something that's invisible. The one true God. And so I believe right now we are in the battle of our lives for the souls of our children, and that's why we exist here at Lamplighter. We are in the front lines of offering to parents both books and audio dramas that can rescue the hearts, minds, and souls of their children.
Yes, that's a great analogy and synopsis of where we're at, Mark. Let's discuss that. Let's discuss Lamplighter Theater. You're adapting classics, those books that you talked about earlier. You're adapting them to an audio drama format, and I can say this from experience: they're very well done. They're very engaging, and most folks my age or older can still remember the day when there were still some radio dramas on that had a very wide audience. I think you're bringing that back, only these are godly with theology woven throughout and a biblical theology as a foundation. I'm wondering, Mark, if you would share with our listeners some of the books that you've already adapted as dramas for Lamplighter Theater, and I know you've got some in the works too.
Yeah, love to. And let me tell you why we even did Lamplighter Theater. In my research for my dissertation, I came across some statistics that only 5% of the entire North American continent was reading nonfiction or anything of value. And so I thought, wow, we're printing books as a ministry. we're going to reach 5% of the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I want to reach the world.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. But before I had that thought, I thought, you know what? Let's do film. Let's produce a film.
Mm.
You know, we got great stories.
Yeah.
And we started producing a film. We got a quarter of the way through it. And it was a great film. And I came across some statistics that startled me about the damaging effects that images have on a child's mind, heart, and soul. And I stopped that film midstream, and I said, that's it. I'd already had $55,000 into it, and I stopped it. And I thought, you know what, Lord, I don't think you want us doing film. Lord, what should we do to reach people today? And that verse came to me, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yeah. And I thought, oh, there it is.
There it is.
Let's put our books in audio dramas. Mm-hmm. But let's do audio dramas that are better than any Hollywood movie that's ever existed, so that when children hear these and they have a choice between watching a movie or listening to this drama, they're going to choose the audio drama.
Yeah.
And we go to London and Hollywood, and we use the best actors in the world. We hold nothing back. Each one of these dramas costs more than my house. It costs over $200,000 to produce one of these dramas. And I, you know, for me to spend that kind of money on a drama, it's like, you got to be crazy. But God has been so faithful to us. He has helped us raise the finances to do these amazing dramas. We just finished one just yesterday. It's done, and it's going to go on the we're sending out MP3 next November 13th. It's called Frozen Fire. It is our best drama yet. Wait till you hear this, Mike. It is so incredible. It's going to go on your radio station on December 26th.
December 26th.
That's going to start the new the new series. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping to do four more this year. So we're really looking forward.
Yeah.
God has opened up some new doors. We're asking God's people to continue to help support this, because it really is rescuing the heart, mind, and souls of children around the world and adults.
Yes.
We get letters from prisoners. We had one prisoner contact us who said he was committing suicide, and he was in the middle of committing suicide, and he heard the Lamplighter Theater drama Come On, and he listened to it, and he said, I've got something to live for now.
Yeah. That's an excellent point, Mark, because although you may have begun these thinking children, I can tell you a lot of adults listen to these. This is Lamplighter Theater is one of our popular shows on our radio station. This may be an unfair question, or maybe one that's difficult to answer, but do you have a favorite that you've done? Yeah. I know you'll say you like them all, but
can you narrow that
down to a dozen?
Okay. Well, Spite of the Splendid, Sir Malcolm and the Missing Prince was our very first one, and I think that was probably one of our very best ones ever. But it doesn't have as much of the biblical theological teaching. That one teaches children about trust and hard work, and so that's a very good one. It's our bestseller still. I love Charlie's Choice. That's a really good one. That's one that deals with evangelism, missions, and sacrifice, and contentedness. That's really good.
Yeah.
So Sir Malcolm would be first, Charlie's Choice, Teddy's Button, of course, that's our best-selling children's book, and that's the greatest children's story ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great story. Yeah. Robber's Cave
is
another great one. That one's in 15th century Italy. That is just on the edge of your seat. That one's really dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
The Boy of Mount Rigi, Salvation, and just dealing with a difficult parent. That's another great one. So that's what, four, five?
Yeah, that's good.
So out of the 18, so let me list the top seven. That'll
okay.
be the best way to do this.
Yeah.
So, Sir Malcolm and the Missing Prince, Charlie's Choice, Teddy's Button, Boy of Mount Rigi. Well, obviously the newest one, Frozen Fire, is spectacular.
Yeah.
That is just spectacular.
Let me give listeners
let
me give listeners the website, because I know they're scribbling notes and trying to keep up with this. The website, folks, lamplighter.net, lamplighter.net, and you can go there and Mark, correct me if I'm speaking out of turn, but they can go there and purchase these for their families and their children, all of these dramas that you're talking about.
Or they can call us toll-free, 1-888-A-GOSPEL. That's 888-A-GOSPEL, 888-246-7735. Yes. They can ask for a catalog.
Yes.
And we'll send them one for free.
Yeah.
But here's one that I think is better than Pilgrim's Progress. Now, the book is called Sir Knight of the Splendid Way.
Sir Knight of the Splendid Way?
Sir Knight of the Splendid Way. Mm-hmm. It is better than Pilgrim's Progress. Now, I know there are people listening right now that are rolling their eyes and saying, like,
right.
Okay, who is this guy?
Right.
You know, he's already stepped over the line. Now he's not believable. I have 10,000 people mm-hmm. that will agree with what I just said, mm-hmm. that this book is better than Pilgrim's Progress.
Wow.
I've only had, in my entire 25 years of ministry, I've only had two people that have disagreed with me so far. Yeah. So there's going to be yeah. some people that will think Pilgrim's is better. But you read it for yourself and you'll see what I mean.
Yes.
So the book is, I think, better than Pilgrim's Progress. The audio drama, I think, is even better than the book.
Wow, yeah.
Now, it's not for everybody. It's allegorical, mm-hmm. you know, and it's mm-hmm. it's chivalrous. It's ancient times, and so they talk yeah. kind of Elizabethan.
Yeah.
So you got to just picture that, but it's phenomenal. That's yeah. a great one.
Yeah. Some of our listeners, Mark. Some of our listeners are pastors, and predominantly the audience is Christian. And so I'm going to ask this question for them: how would a church that has a library be able to take advantage of Lamplighter Ministries International books? Is there a way for them to buy in bulk?
Yeah, they could do that. And obviously we'll give them discounts for all of that. And that's mm-hmm. every church should have a Lamplighter collection, both the books and the audio dramas. We have, you know, we probably got, I don't know, 75 to 100 churches that have that already.
Okay.
But here's what I'm finding. Unless you have one person that is going to talk about these books on a regular basis,
yes.
you know, like, hey, right. you got to read this book or put it in the bulletin. Here, mm-hmm. this is the next title that we recommend, and here's mm-hmm. why we recommend it.
Yep.
Unless you talk about it and engage people with it, it's out of sight, out of mind in a library.
Mm. Yeah.
But, mm-hmm. you know, for people that do go to libraries and still want to read things, it's an essential part of the library. I believe that with all my heart. Now, this is, Mike, this is interesting. You say this. We just got back from a church in Virginia, and it's one of our supporting churches, and we did this thing called Media Detox, and we do a 30, 60, 90-day Media Detox. So the whole church
interesting
covenants with being a part of the thing. Now, what if the pastor's listening to this is essential right now. Pastor, hear this. If a child, teen or adult goes to church 1 hour every week, you will have an influence of 800 hours in their lives. The average influence of the media in their lives per year is 63,000 hours. Your 800 hours compared to Hollywood's 63,000 hours, it doesn't allow you to have even a chance
yeah.
to reach their hearts.
Yes.
There is no way you can influence their heart, mind, and soul with what Hollywood is doing. And so we have to do something that is far greater than what the devil is doing with Hollywood in our families' homes right now.
Yeah.
We've got to provide something, and we've got to break the bondage. And the only way to break the bondage that I'm seeing right now is I'm doing my research. I just finished reading 60,000 pages on this, both from a theoretical sense and a theological sense, of the influence of the media and scripture on the mind and moral imagination. If you can get a church to buy into this, you know, we would come there, we would show them the statistics of what's going on, literally. For example, there was just a research done in Chicago, University of Chicago, I believe it was, or UCLA, that Twitter and Facebook is now proven to harm and cripple a person's ability to have compassion.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that wild or what?
That's wild. Because I use Twitter, what I would characterize as more than I do Facebook.
It's you got to be careful. Mm-hmm. You got to be careful as to, you know, We've entered into a new realm of digital relationships,
mm-hmm.
and we've got to get back to discipleship that's face to face. because you could never replace that. You know, some people will say, you know, just don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and all of that, and, you know, God's given us a tool to use. Okay, yes, let's use the tools that God is equipping us to reach the world for Christ, but let's not forsake or extinguish the opportunities that are right before our very eyes, the people that he brings into our lives on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that count the most.
Yeah.
So here at Lamplighter, we're looking at both the scientific research, we're looking at the theological research, we're looking at what's really changing the lives of people. And Mike, as I tour this country and abroad, I am seeing in epidemic proportions that people no longer know the Word of God. They don't know it anymore.
Right.
They still are reading it, but they don't know it.
You know,
2 Peter chapter 1 says this: God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness.
Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing statement. Did you hear that?
Yeah, it is.
Everything
amazing
that we need for life and godliness has been given to us through his divine power.
Yeah.
Now, watch this. I think 2 Peter 1 is just extraordinary. That God's divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness according to, here's the catch, according to epigenosis. It's not the word for knowledge. It's the word for full intimate knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
According to a full intimate knowledge of him who has called us to his own glory and virtue, or his own glory and excellence, by which he's also granted unto us, here's the next catch, great and magnificent promises. Mm-hmm. Unless you have a full intimate knowledge of him, unless you know the great and magnificent promises, that through these promises, but you can't engage with them, you live by faith according to them unless you know them.
Right, yes.
He says, by which you have also been good to become partners in his divine nature. It's like, whoa.
Amen. Yeah.
God literally wants us to partner in his divine nature, and that's where what Jesus said, greater things will you do than I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real.
Yeah.
It's real. Those who will really get serious of being saturated with the Word of God, knowing him intimately, then by faith, putting your faith muscles on. You know, it said about Abraham in Romans 4 that he took the footsteps of the faith of Abraham, footsteps of faith. Listen to this, and I hope the pastors are listening. This is so key. In Romans chapter 4, verse 2, it says this, that Old Testament Israel says the Word of God did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith.
Mm.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Knowing the Word of God, preaching the sermon on Sunday, none of that does anything unless the listener takes it and then exercises to some degree a level of faith, trusting God in a way in which there's no other explanation how this took place in my life other than that God himself did this with me.
Yes.
And that's where Abraham then says in Romans chapter 4 and 5 that he was fully convinced that God would do as he promised.
Amen.
It's like, wow.
Yeah.
So,
amen,
that's
brother.
That's what we're doing with the churches right now, and churches that want to be a part of this, you know, we'll come there, we'll help them. We've got the entire program that we're working through right now. People can get excited about the Word of God with books, listening to things, starting to write again, being actively involved in visiting the shut-ins and the widows and the elderly. Can you imagine just going to a widow, her husband died, let's say, and you go there and you give her one of a Lamplighter book to read. Let's say it's The Extraordinary Little Maid or Teddy's Button. It's what a innocent way of evangelism, because you go there, you give them the book, they start reading it. I gave it to my 76-year-old dad and 76-year-old mom. And both my mom and dad came to Christ.
Amen.
And they just love these stories.
Amen.
And it has the simple plan of salvation in each one.
All of these resources we've been discussing are available at lamplighter.net. Mark, I know there are a lot of new and exciting things happening at Lamplighter Ministries International. I'm wondering if you would share some of those.
Wow.
Where do you start, huh?
Amazing year. Yeah, this is, this year started with 2 years previous to this. God spent 2 years disciplining me. So, you know, let me just also share that to your with your listeners, mm-hmm. because, you know, someone in my position, being in a leadership position, isn't, well, first of all, if you're in any kind of leadership position, if you're not being chastened by the Lord, then he doesn't love you.
Mm.
You know, leaders who always appear that they've got it all together and things are going well all the time, I doubt that.
right.
You know, God just, I'm just coming out of a 2-year chastening of the Lord, and I didn't even know why, other than that God wanted me to have a higher level of purity, a higher level of accountability, a higher level of self-discipline. And so, you know, God just, it was a rough 2 years. And part of that 2-year experience was I was in an accident and had a severe concussion, had some serious memory loss. I didn't know, part of my family didn't know, any of my staff lost hundreds and hundreds of memorized Bible verses. That was the worst part.
Yeah, boy, yeah.
Lost all my seminars, lost all of my seminary notes for my dissertation.
Oh.
Completely gone.
Oh, no.
I've had to do all of my research over, start memorizing all the Bible verses again, get reacquainted with people again. It's been unbelievable.
Wow.
But you know something? It's been great. I'm loving it. It's like it's like starting life over again in a way. So I my memory's coming back. I got about 80% back now. But God, he disciplined me, I believe, during those 2 years. And it humbled me. And it made me more gentle and kind. I've been memorizing 2 Timothy chapters 2 and 3 right now, and it says, the servant of the Lord, let me back up. It says, flee youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, faith, love, and peace with them who call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart.
Yeah.
And then it says, I'll get it in a second. Strife. Avoid. I had it memorized. Come on, Mike. Do you know this one? Profane. No, not profane. I'll get it. I've got it. It's in the top of my brain right now.
Yep.
Strife.
I'm going to just open the scriptures, Mark.
You're looking it up?
Yeah.
I can't believe I can't memorize it.
Yeah.
I can't remember it.
And you said it was
2 Timothy 2.
2 Timothy 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
It's at the end.
Towards the end.
It's oh, but foolish and unlearned. Here it is.
Yeah, refuse foolish and ignorant speculations.
So you know, it says, but follow righteousness, faith, love, and peace with them. Call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And then this is the part that I love. And the servant of the Lord not strive or be quarrelsome, but be kind to everyone, apt to teach, patiently enduring evil, gently instructing those who oppose, that God might perhaps grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, who have been caught in the snare of the devil and taken captive by him to do his will.
Yeah.
And so I'm memorizing that, and I'm thinking, like, wow, God is really tempering me right now, teaching me to be kind and more gentle, because, you know, sometimes a leader, when he's got all this pressure on him, you can just kind of run over people, you know, and God's teaching me that it's not getting things important, it's how you get things done, you know, and how you are with people. And so having said all of that, you know, God now has, it seems like his hand, his favor is back on the ministry and myself, and I just love these moments. And we have just started an internship program here at Lamplighter. We're taking 18 to 80-year-olds that come here, and they work here at Lamplighter, work in the bindery. By the way, we started our own bindery and printing operation here. We print and bind our own books here.
Wow.
We're getting ready to build our own recording studio so that we can do some of the recordings here. Mike, this church that God gave us, this $1.5 million church we got for $40,000, it's gorgeous. Stained glass windows and walnut woodwork. We're building bookshelves in there right now to fit 80,000 books around the church. It's going to be gorgeous.
That's awesome.
And we're trying to get it ready for the Michael Card concert coming up December 19th.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have – we got the book bindery. We're going to get ready for the recording studio. And then if you've listened to our dramas, you know that we've got Finian Jones that starts off each drama.
Yeah.
And he's got this sliding ladder that revolves around the bookcases called Rolo. And then we've got, there's the Evriolator. We've got a bell tower here at the church that goes up 85 feet. We're getting ready to build a spiral staircase to go all the way up to the top to be a prayer tower.
Oh, yes.
So that when tourists come here, they can go up there and pray. You can oversee the whole village and the whole county. We're getting ready to there's an organ in there. It's about 25 feet high, and this is pipe organ.
Oh, yeah.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. It's a whole wall. It's about 10, 12 feet wide, 15, 20 feet high, and we're getting ready to make this thing actually rotate 360 degrees. So one side will be the recording studio where the engineers will sit, all the soundboard, and the other it will then it'll rotate completely so that the other side will be a library. And so when we're using it for the recording studio, you can revolve one way, and we're not turning it the other way. It'll be a library. When children come here to meet Finian Jones and all the stuff that we got going on with Lamplighter Theater, we're going to turn this 1853 stained glass classic Gothic church into everything that they hear on the radio dramas.
Oh, wow.
They're going to experience it here. Trap door in the floor that takes them down a slide. It's going to be
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And when are you thinking that all of that work is going to be finished?
As soon as God brings the finances to us, it will be done that week. Should see. When the money comes in, we start immediately. We started building these bookshelves a week ago.
Hmm.
The concert's December 19th. We're building bookcases that are going to fit 80,000 books. You should see the church right now.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, literally, and they're 9 feet high. It's just gorgeous. And so, you know, most people think that I'm somewhat on the crazy side because, you know, to be that kind of spontaneous and.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, God just seems to get it done. And I think he doesn't want us to grow any grass under our feet. And so when God brings the finances to it, I mean, we got plans already. I got architectural plans for an addition for the bindery, expansion of the bindery.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, with God's help and God's people's help, the next step here at Lamplighter is to build a campus. We're going to take the Lamplighter Guild, where this year we had Ravi Zechariah speaking, Stephen Kendrick, all the Lamplighter Theater team was here.
Yeah.
We're going to take the Lamplighter Guild and expand it into 9 months. We're going to have our own campus here. We already built, 800 yards away from our campus here, we have 50 acres where we just built our pond. The grass has already grown. We want to build our own facility there where students will be able to have classes.
Excellent.
And guess what? I already met with our potential first teacher. He's a radio broadcaster. He's in drama. He's a drama teacher. I'd like to see him working here immediately. Mike, if we get the money, I'd hire him in January, and the students could come. They'll learn the Lamplighter Theater dramas. They'll learn how to dramatize these stories, and they will take a team of kids, young, 18 and up, and this man and his wife, they will travel with these young people, and they will go to churches and dramatize these stories and then share about the dangers of the media and help find a substitute and replacement that Lamplighter has to offer for these churches.
Excellent.
Mike, can you envision this?
That is excellent. That is really – how can folks support that, Mark?
They just go to lamplighter.net, go to giving – and to give, and they can support it. Better than that, come and visit us. Come here. Listen to this, Mike. God, his hand is on this whole thing. My wife and I, actually grew up in this area. We just moved our ministry back here after 30 years. We have had a house all this time. We've been renting it. We just renovated the house. Mm-hmm. It's on the floors. It's beautiful. It's got a wood stove in there. It's got bookcases and just it's gorgeous. And we've set it aside to bring the supporters and friends of Lamplighter. They can stay there. They can come here, work in the ministry, see what's going on here for themselves, mm-hmm. and then decide how God wants to use them to help support the ministry and move it forward. Mike, with support, go to lamplighter.net. With the right support, we can immediately expand our influence in Christian schools, homeschools, and public schools. Because our books are considered classics, we can get these books. Have you ever heard of Scholastic books?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
If there's a pastor out there that has a Christian school and they have Scholastic books in their school, shame on them. I was a principal of a Christian school, and we used to have Scholastic books book club in our school. Mm-hmm. And then one day, a parent came to me and she said, "Have you ever read the books that are in this catalog?" And I said, "No." And she said, "I want you to read this on this page." And Mike, this was 28 years ago. And the paragraph that I read said this. It was a letter from a teenage girl to God. "Dear God, I'm pregnant, and I don't know what to do, and my parents don't know. What should I do? God. Dear Elizabeth, we all make mistakes in life. The first thing you should do is not tell your parents. The second thing you should do wow. is have an abortion."
Oh. Oh, my.
When I read that, you should have seen my reaction. I mean, I jumped off my chair. I could not believe it. I remember going to every single classroom and collecting all the Scholastic Book Club papers, collecting them all, throwing them in the trash, and from that day forward, I said, you know what? We're going to do something about this.
Yeah.
And it's now, 28 years later, we're in a position to do something about it, because I don't think there's any book club in the world today that competes with Scholastic books. We have an opportunity right now to start our own book club for, like I said, homeschool, Christian schools, and public schools. Mike, we can get into the public schools. Remember what I said about this team of drama students
yes.
with this teacher?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We can get into public schools. These yeah, kids that's... can go there and do the dramas, and then we can share with the schools, the administrator and the teachers. We have a book club that has both books. So what I want to do is take Lamplighter books, put them in soft covers, mm-hmm. Abridge them so that they're shorter versions, mm-hmm. easier to read,
yeah.
and get them in soft cover so they're inexpensive, do the audio dramas, and put these in the book club for our public school students.
Perfect.
And our Christian school students. Mike, mm-hmm. we
Perfect.
Can influence an entire nation. I believe we can have a revival here.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Wow, that's exciting, Mark. That's very exciting.
that's why I said wow to begin with.
Yeah, that's right. Well, so people can go to the website, lamplighter.net, and they can connect with you there. They can figure out a good time to come visit. They can figure out how to support yep. this work that's going on there. Anything else that you'd like to share yep. with our listeners?
You know, they could email me personally at mark@lamplighter.net. That's mark@lamplighter.net. And I know that it's just a matter of time that God is going to open this door. Everyone on staff here says it's like we feel like we're a 747 on a runway with a cable attached to us, and we're at full throttle, and the cable is just about to snap.
Yeah.
That's how we feel right now.
Yeah.
And we feel like we're ready to take off.
Yeah.
And here, you know, I'm turning 60 years old, even though people think I'm turning 20. I mean, I have the heart of a 20-year-old. I have the energy of a 20-year-old. But I'm turning 60 years old. Most people are looking for retirement. I'm planning to live to 120, God willing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any thought of retirement. There's nothing in this personally. This is only about advancing the kingdom of
Amen.
God.
Yes.
You know, so yeah. so the little time that I might have, I'm in my last quarter. I want to see Lamplighter prepared for the next generation. I'm trying to put the people in place. You know, this is not about me being lifted up in front of, you know, a group of people. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ taking his rightful place in the heart, mind, and soul of people.
Yes.
And when people get to have a full, intimate knowledge of Christ in a way that they've never seen before or heard before, and they get excited about Christ, if we can turn one, what does that verse say? And Galatians 6? He that converts, no, that's James. He that converts a sinner from the error of his way shall convert a soul from, he that converts a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sin. I believe if we can start getting into the heart, mind, and souls of our children and our teens and our adults, getting them on fire, fan the flames, kindle a renaissance of excellence that helps one to know God intimately and proclaim Him passionately.
Yes.
If we can do that, I believe that we can have one more revival before Jesus returns. And Mike, with all my heart, I believe Jesus is returning in our lifetime. I have no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I share that belief with you, Mark, for sure. Well, this has been a very encouraging conversation, Mark. I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. And again, for our listeners, it's lamplighter.net. Please go to the website and avail yourself of the resources there, especially school principals, pastors, churches with libraries, parents that want to read a good, classic, uplifting, encouraging story to their children. I know when our children were little, that was something that my wife Kathy and I always did before bed, was to read them a chapter from a book. No better books out there than what you'll find at Lamplighter Ministry. So I encourage you to go out there and find those. Mark, any final closing words?
I love what David said. I'll not give unto the Lord that which cost me nothing. It's 2 Samuel 24:24. There's a cost involved in providing what's really best for our children.
Mm-hmm.
It takes work.
Yeah.
We're in a battle.
Yes.
And if you're going to enter this battle, it's going to cost us something. And so let's move forward. Let's know. I love that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices.
Yeah.
Let's move forward. We have a work to do, a battle that needs to begin so that we can protect and guard the heart, mind, and souls of our children. Mike, thank you so much for letting me be here.
Amen. Mark, thank you, my friend. I appreciate you joining me.
Blessings.
Blessings. Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek Him.